all about you to model this great things in the life of this ministry. Thank you for just your presence here in your life of our lives. Now, we ask for you to be glorified in all that we say and do in this place, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Priming the pump. Amen. Priming the pump. Sister Cynthia, thank you for those beautiful words of just thank you. And for this entire ministry, for how they reached out to the Wittenberg family and still are praying for them. Sister Gail, 42 years of ministry, and you are not just one who sat around collecting numbers. You are actually doing ministry. Amen. 42 Amen. Years, you're still doing ministry, and that's a blessing to all of us, because I know how, again, since I've been here, how active you've been involved in. I'm talking about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
if something needed to be done, Sister Gill was making sure it was getting done. I know we're not going to miss you, but you're still doing it. You just don't have the title, that's all. Amen. You're good, just out of time. So let us look and see what the Lord has in store for us today. You know, this is a period of time what we call March Madness. Amen. It has a different meaning these days because of COVID, but it's still madness around here. Amen. And, you know, it's one thing that to get together with some family and friends, you know, and you fill out your brackets, you know, you see who's going to win the games and who's going to make it to the Final Four, the big dance, and then the championship. And the thing that's always interesting about this time of year is to see who's going to get upset. You know, number one seed, number two seed. It was kind of different to have Duke this year. Those things are unpredictable, and upsets happen. But at the end of the day, we realize that it's just a game. It's just for fun. It just gives us something to do. And at the end of the day, your bracket's better than somebody else. All you have is bragging rights. Amen. But there's another game. A game called life. Amen. And as we go through a life, we make choices, and going through this process, and things happen, things don't always go the way we want them to go, amen. Sometimes there's some upsets, amen, in the game of life. But at the end of the day, unlike the Final Four and the Championship of Mock Madness, there's one thing that we can be assured of. And that is our salvation in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We can be assured of our salvation in Christ. It's our decision that we make a commitment to be only true in living God. And when we really do it, when it really matters in our life, guess what? No matter what goes on in your life, you're going to be fine. Amen?
Amen.
That's our blessed assurance, amen, that Jesus is ours. No matter what goes on, life's going to be fine when you are in Christ. Not pain-free, amen. Don't get that wrong. As someone said, don't get it twisted. Not pain-free, but hope-filled, amen. Hope-filled. And the end game is that we win. That's the end game. We win. Why? Because we are on the right side. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to make sure that you realize that you are on the right side. You know, last week we were in the book of Romans. And we talked about the example we're supposed to be, an example that Christ gave us, how we're supposed to live our lives. And prior to that, we were in Proverbs 16. And in Proverbs 16, talked about how you make plans and how we ought to what? Commit our plans to the Lord. And so, again, I told you guys, all this year I've been in the book of Psalms. So this day, I was in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 16 is where I'm going to be going. And what I want to show you in Psalm 16 is that when it's all said and done, you better make sure you are on the right side. Amen. I don't know who your team is for the NCAA, but I know you better be on this team. Team Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's the right side. Because once it's again, I'm telling you, once it's all said and done, the Bible specifically tells me at the end of the day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yep.
So don't wait till the last day. Go ahead and do it now. Amen. Amen. Make sure that you realize that He is Lord. I mean, one preacher somebody said, you know what? The key is that He's Lord, whether you make Him or not. That guy said, you know what? That's true. He is still Lord. And so I want to talk today really about how blessed it is to be on the right side. And so we're going to do Psalm 16 in its entirety. Every stanza there, I'm going to go from 1 all the way down to 11. Not going to take much of your time. But I hope you guys have been following the Larry Fox and Mike Stein series. Amen. And observation, interpretation, and application. And so as we read Psalm 16 in its entirety, I want you to observe as I read. And as we observe, we're going to point out a few things. And after that, we're going to try to interpret a few things. And then we're going to put some application to it. And then we are going to let you go and practice this. Amen. But the reason why I picked out Psalm 16 is because when you read it, you can tell that this psalm was actually written, we believe, by David. But we believe it was written by David when he was going through something. Amen. I thought that was apropos for today, because we're still, even though some of us have been vaccinated, but it's still a long way to go. And people are still going through. Amen. Challenges are still here. But this psalm gives us hope that everything is going to be all right because we're on the right side. Amen. Listen to the words of our Lord. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." I can just preach that right now. We can go home. Amen. That's where our trust is. But look at stanza 2. It says, "Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord." "My goodness is nothing apart from you." I'm going to get to that part. "As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." You put your name there. Amen. "Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are my portion, of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave me in my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, saying that this morning, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. Again, just want to use for a subject. At the end of the day, once it's all said and done, make sure you're on the what? Right side. Amen. On the right side. And on the right side is being with the Lord. Amen. Now, in my observation over the course of the week, as I was reading this, I saw in the first two stanzas, I saw some seeds. Amen. I saw some seeds all throughout these 11 stanzas. The first seed I saw was confidence. Amen. Don't you see confidence all up in there? I see the psalmist. I see David, if he wrote this, I see David having confidence in the Lord. Well, how do you get that, preacher? Well, he says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my what? Trust. Amen. You only trust what you have confidence in. Amen. Amen. He has confidence that the Lord can do what the Lord can do, and only the Lord can do what the Lord can do. Amen. And that's why he's not asking anybody else. He's saying, preserve me, oh God. He's going straight to the source. Amen. See, sometimes y'all be coming to the preacher. Y'all better go to the source. Amen. Amen. Because I can only do what you can do. Huh? Amen. There ain't nothing special. Amen. About me. But God. Amen. He says, preserve me, O God. For in you I put my trust. Confidence. Amen. Psalm seems to be reading a time of trouble, right? He's going through something. And so despite all that's going through, he has a confidence. This is something like a praise. Amen. He's praising God in the midst of his going through. Despite the trouble of all these, he might be going through this time. We don't know exactly what he's going through, but we know he's going through something. Why? Because his soul is even crying out. He says, oh, my soul. You have said to the Lord, you are my. You know, they get deep down inside you sometimes where you get to a point where you can't even what pray, but something inside you is praying for you. Y'all been there before? You know, you hurting so much, you crying so much, you don't have any tears left in your tear ducts, and all of a sudden you still getting the prayer through. Why? Because the spirit is connected to the spirit, and your soul is crying out to the Lord. Confidence. See, when you get the word of God down deep down inside you, no matter what's happening in you, you know what the right thing is to do. Amen. It's that thing people say, let go and let God. Well, I never had hold of it. I always let God have it anyway. Amen. I ain't got to let go no more. You got to stop talking about, because see, if you got to say let go, that means you got something. Amen. When you said you surrendered all, that means you picked something back up. Amen. No, just let God do what God does, and you trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and stop leaning to your own understanding, all those degrees you got. Come on now. We lean too much on this stuff that we think we can do down here on this earth, and sometimes only God can do what God can do. And your soul will cry out and say, Lord, you are my Lord. And what he's actually saying here is that, guess what? I'm putting all my trust in you. You are my master and I am your servant. I know sometimes colored folks don't like to hear that. Help me, somebody. I know that rubs you the wrong way, but guess what? I'm a slave. I'm a doulos of the Lord. Amen. Ain't got no harm and no shame in saying that. If you know what, I serve him because he gave all that he is just for me. Yeah, I'm his servant. That's exactly what he said. Is that he said, you are my Lord. Amen. You are my master. I am your servant. And he said, my goodness is nothing apart from you. So he got down to a point where he understood that he needed the Lord to preserve him. He needed the Lord to keep him. He needed the Lord to protect him. And this powerful declaration is actually giving God the highest honor in the fact that he's letting God know, I'm putting all my trust in you. How many of you know that one of the highest honors you can ever give God is you let the Lord know you trust him, and then you actually do. Amen. And when something comes down to it, you get down on your knees, and sometimes it's so bad, you just lay prostrate on the floor, and you just cry out to the Lord. And you don't even ask him, you know, how you want it solved. You just say, Lord, it's in your hands. It's like one of those God of Gethsemane experiences. Amen. Lord, not my will, but thy will. In other words, I got a way I like to see it done, but Lord, let thy will be done in my, and whatever you let, however it goes, guess what, Lord? I'm okay with it. You know why? Because I know you got me. And I'm trusting you. And here's the key. I don't mess my life up so much, Lord. You know what's best for me. Amen. I don't try to fix it so many times, but God, I guess what? I understand now. You know exactly what's best for me. Spurgeon put it this way. Spurgeon says, preserve me, Lord, from the world. Let me not be carried away with its excitements. Preserve me from the devil. Let him not tempt me above what I am able to bear. Preserve me from myself. Keep me from growing envious, selfish, high-minded, proud, slothful. Preserve me from evils into which I see others run. Preserve me from evils in which I myself will run. Keep me from evils known and unknown. Lord, preserve me, O God. You just got to cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I know you do. You are my Lord. You are my master. I am your servant. I belong to you. I am nothing without you. He says, my goodness is nothing apart from you. In other words, he was saying that if there's anything good in me, it came from you. Amen. And my goodness will never equate to your righteousness. In other words, I can't be good enough for you to save me. Amen. I'm relying on what you are doing in me to even save me. Why? Because all the goodness that somebody might even think about seeing in me actually came from you. Amen. Jesus said it best in Mark 10:18. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. Amen. And so we're going to have confidence that when we cry out to the Lord, guess what? He's able. Amen. He's able to do what? Exceedingly and abundantly above all that what we can ask or even. In other words, God got some stuff that he can do that we can't even think about how it can be done. Isn't that amazing? In other words, when you come up against a wall, you can't go no further. It ain't over. And I think that happened one time when Moses was leading some folk. Remember, he was at some water and he couldn't go over, right? And he couldn't go back that way because Pharaoh's army was waiting for him. And so he was just sitting there scratching his head. He said, oh, well, the people get ready to kill him because they said, why are you bringing us out here to die? You know, and Moses said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. He said, it's a fix it, Jesus. I know, look, I'm trusting what in the Lord. And all of a sudden, somebody told me, somewhere I read, that the sea just opened up. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is the part that I just marvel at the fact. People say, well, the sea opened up. Now, I don't just marvel at that. I marveled at the fact that it did open up, but what I really marveled at is that when it opened up, the ground was dry. See, that's what I'm, because see, I would have been satisfied walking across on mud. Huh? See, I'm saying, look, Lord, if you open up, I'm gone. But not only did he open it up, but he did it one more better. He said, I'm going to dry it up. Your shoes not going to get messed up. by faith Adam, huh? He said, when you get on the other side, I want you to be in style. So I'm going to drive. I'm telling you, God will do some stuff if you just trust me. Amen? We got to have enough confidence in the Lord. And guess what? Sooner or later, this COVID is going to be gone. Amen? And when it's gone, we got to get back on with doing the Lord's business. Amen? I know he gave us the past. And some of us are still waiting for the vaccine. Some of us are still waiting for the other thing to happen. But what I'm saying is, have confidence in the Lord that he will do what he said he will do. And he will preserve you. He will take care of you. Just have confidence in the Lord. Yeah, he said, and make sure you understand that you belong to him completely. And when you do that, things will change in your life. And the second C I saw in this is the fact that he had confidence in the Lord, but he also had company with the saints. Huh? Yeah, he had confidence in the Lord, but he kept company with the saints. In other words, he loved hanging around church folk. Amen. Folk were always out and said, y'all open? I said, we would never close. Amen. Amen. We didn't close up the church. We've been having church since last March. Amen. Amen. We ain't closed. We love hanging around church folk. We just social distance. Amen. But what I don't want y'all to get used to is social distance. Amen. Somebody will get that on the way home. Some of y'all are getting comfortable with the social distance. Oh, no, baby, I can't do that. I can't come on with. Nope, I can't. I got a social distance. Next year, COVID gone. Everybody back there. I'm still social distancing. Come on now. Sooner or later, you gotta get one of these what I call these Christian hugs. I know some people say, "No, I'm not going back to hugging people. You missing out, huh?" Come on now. The psalmist here, David here, wrote this thing. Now he says, "Look, verse 3." He says, "As for the saints who are on the earth," in other words, he's not waiting to get to heaven, huh? On the earth, he says, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. In other words, he said, I just can't wait to get around some church folk. Huh? You want to get around them and have a good old time. You want to commune with the church folk. You want to have company. You want to have community. He's concerned. He wants to connect. He cares about those who are in the church. A lot of C's up in there, huh? He wants you to understand, because see, I remember this little ditty that I had heard, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't misquote it. And we can get very comfortable sometimes with stuff that sounds funny, but ain't right. Amen? And I forgot where, oh, there it is. I wrote it right there. It said that this, y'all probably heard it before. Somebody wrote this. And I don't believe it's a church folk who wrote it. Amen. I believe it's somebody who wants you to think they were a church folk, because you wouldn't write this if you were a church folk. It says, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. Huh? Just sound down. Oh, yeah, that's like, man, church folks are so difficult, man. You know, they talk about you to do all that. Yeah, that might be true. But you know what? Are you sure they're real church folk? Huh? They might be up in the building, amen. That don't mean they feel with the spirit of the Lord, amen. Because I came the other day, I spent a whole lot of time in the garage, but I'm not a car. Huh? I was out in the garage with Lola, you know? So sometimes you can be somewhere, but you don't fit the definition of who that person actually is. And I want you to know, David is telling us, the psalmist is telling us, and so since he wrote it, the Lord is telling us that guess what? As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. No, but he said, I like being around all the time. Huh? He said that I love being around those folks who really know the Lord, who understand what God has called us to do. I like keeping company with folk who are, guess what, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. He said, I delight myself in them. And he said, all the time. He said, I can't wait. He said, somebody said, I was so glad when he said to me, let us what? Go into the house of the Lord. You know why? Because there was church folk up in there. Amen?
Amen.
Ain't nothing, I'm telling y'all, ain't nothing better. Because they feel with the Spirit of the Lord. Guess what? If you love the Lord, you love those people who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can actually gauge your relationship with God by how much you love people of God. That's right. Yeah, that's biblical. That's why he said that if you bring me a gift and you got an ought against your brother, he says, leave the gift there and go fix it. He says, then come back to me. Amen. See, we got to stop playing around like, oh, there's all this negativity going on in the house of the Lord. It might be some negative folk, but guess what? It has nothing to do with the house of the Lord. Amen? And you got to realize that everybody here just something about just playing church. Amen? And when we get bold enough and start calling that stuff out, amen, and use a little bit of church discipline every now and then when it's necessary. Come on now, we can clean this joint up, amen. We don't even need no whip, amen. All we got to do is open up our mouth and let folks know we ain't standing for that nonsense. This is the house of the Lord, and we are children of God, and we actually love each other. Amen. Love keeping company with church folks. When y'all start coming back, I mean, y'all don't know how happy I got. Come on, now stop preaching for that. When all y'all was still on Zoom, Facebook, I was preaching for 30 minutes. Y'all know that's true. And then if y'all back, come on now. You can't get me up out of here now. Got some feedback up in the house. See, I couldn't keep y'all long on Facebook and Zoom, y'all to turn me off. But now when I got a captive audience, you can see some of y'all are too afraid to get up and leave on me. You know, come on, y'all, just can't really do that. You say, what does that mean? That means I'm the one interrupting you, boo. Church folk. But we love them. We're supposed to love each other, amen. We're like a family. I think I used it a couple weeks ago because it's like me and my brother. But because sometimes me and my brother don't always get along. Like, what we do next to be home. When we were young, we didn't always get along together, amen? And sometimes he would beat me up because he was bigger than me, amen? That's right. He watched that, he's saying, you know, he used to beat me up all the time, amen? But guess what? Couldn't nobody else beat on me. Huh? That's what I'm talking about, right? Now, he could beat on me all he wants, you know, because he's but nobody else could touch me. Because he'd jump on them and hurt them. Amen? And we would be the same way with church folk. You know what? We're supposed to love each other to the point where, guess what? We don't always get along together, amen, because we got differences, amen? But ain't nobody going to talk about you around me. Ain't nobody going to bother you around me. Why? Because you're family. You're part of the body of Christ. And here's what I want you to know. If you find somebody talking to you about somebody else in the body of Christ and you begin to talk about them too, there's something wrong with you. Amen? That's right. Something wrong with you. Because guess what? Papa don't play that. Amen? Matter of fact, James Brown got a record out of Papa don't take no mess. Am I right about it? Papa don't take no mess. James Brown. And Daddy don't play that. Amen? You don't talk about each other. Amen? Matter of fact, Daddy gave us specific instructions. He said, if you got an ought against your brother, you go to your brother. And you take care of that nonsense. Amen? Amen. By the fact that you went to somebody else and somebody else co-signed for you, something wrong with both of y'all. Amen. Nothing said? Oh, y'all want some more? Okay, let me. That's the seed. We got to love each other. We are excellent one. Why? Because we're in Christ and we're going to delight in each other. Amen. Amen. Let me go on to my next one now so I can let y'all go. Verse 4 is there. The 4, there's a contrast there. Amen. You see the contrast? Because he's no longer talking about those saints who were in the church house, right? He's talking about those other non-believers who want to go to other places and try to find other God. Look at verse 4. He says, their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. So you see, he talks about a different person there. So there's a contrast in what believers do and non-believers do. Got it? He said, their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. In other words, David says, I have nothing to do with them. Amen? Why? Because they are not going to do the things that we as believers are going to do and what? And honor the Lord with our lives. They're searching other gods. They're going after other things to bring them pleasure. They are not on the right side. They're on the wrong side. And here's the problem. The reason why I believe that David, the psalmist put this here, he wanted to make a contrast there to get you to understand some of us would rather hang with them than hang with the saints. Huh? We want to hang with the eights and not the saints. We want to go with those who are out there searching after other gods, you know, trying to buy bigger houses, nicer cars, having all this fun out there in the street. And see, here's the contrast is that unbelievers have more of a difficult time in life than believers do. Why? Because we have hope. And they don't have any hope. As a matter of fact, that's why he said in verse 4, he said that their sorrows shall be multiplied. In other words, their life is going to be more difficult and they have nowhere to go to resolve their issues, but to each other. Living in this broken world, we need to understand that things are going to go wrong in our life, but we always have hope. Amen. I don't know how unbelievers make it. You know, I don't know. Some things happened in my life that I didn't have Christ, I would just lose my mind. I don't know how they make it without Christ. Without the comfort of the Holy Spirit when things are going wrong and we have deaths in the family and things like that. You know, without the body of Christ coming around you and Michael, we just saw a good example of that today with my sister. How the body of Christ just comes around you when you're in your tough. How do you do that when you don't have the body of Christ? That's it's just so hard to make it in this world without Christ. What happens is that believers need to share what we have with unbelievers, so that they will understand that some of the things that they want to do, they are confused with it. They think that they have freedom because they can go out there and sin and do all these things. But what they don't understand, that's not freedom, that's slavery. You're a slave to sin. They don't even get it. See, we only recognize that now because we used to be there, but now what? We are in the what? The light. If you talk about it, it's all, we're in the light. We're no longer in darkness, but what God has brought out of darkness into this marvelous light. This light means that we're now what? Able to see what we used to be, but who we are now. Amen. And so we have to get to a point where we understand that since I've committed my entire life to Christ, I'm going to live for Christ. And I'm not going to follow those whose sorrows will be multiplied, who are making up these blood offerings that God will not even take and will not even put on his lips to hear. 5 and 6, now that's all the contrast, then I spend a lot of time on the contrast, we see contentment. Amen. Look at 5 and 6. I see a contentment there. Why? Because see, contentment means that I'm satisfied with where I am and who I am in Christ. And what God, what has given me and what he has in store for me. Look at verse 5, stand at 5. It says, oh Lord, you are my portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my, in other words, you got me. And here's the part you need to understand that if David wrote this psalm, and he probably did, but here's something you can look back to. You remember, David had a whole lot of brothers in his house, didn't he? Remember how when Samuel came around, he was looking for the one who's going to anoint king, and Jesse brought all them boys up in there, you know, the big boys, the older boys. So David was the last one. Well, he's the youngest one. He's a little ruddy kid. And so luckily in his household, guess what of inheritance he was going to get? Probably not. Because what, it goes to the older, right? And then it comes on down. So even in his own household, he was going to get anything. But guess what he said? Now that he's with the Lord, he blessed. He's going to get what? A wonderful inheritance, right? He said, Lord, you my portion. You my inheritance. And I'm satisfied with that. You know why? Because there couldn't be anything better. Isn't that amazing? That, see, we don't understand what we actually have in Christ. We have an inheritance like no other. God has said, I am your portion. You remember the priest, you know, and when they would get the sacrifices, the priest had to what? They had to rely on what God had given them left over after everything else was being sacrificed. And this is your portion. This is, and they had to be satisfied that they were the priest of God. And what he's saying, that now you are my priestly nation, right? You need to be satisfied with just me. And here's the problem. Some of us don't get that. And we're not satisfied with Christ. That's why we don't have the pleasures that we should normally have. That's why we don't have the joy that we should normally have. We're allowing all this other stuff in our lives to take precedent and what to confuse us, that if I don't have these things, that I don't have a good life. And God says, but I gave you me. Don't you understand that an unbeliever who has the biggest mansion, who has all the cars, who has all the money that they could ever spend, and a homeless guy who has Christ is better off than that person in the mansion? Y'all don't believe that. Y'all should get in Christ because you're in church now. But do you really believe that? That person who has Christ fully and has nothing else is better off than the unbeliever who has everything this world could offer and doesn't have Christ. See, we have to get to a point where we are content with where God has us and who we are in Christ. David said, oh Lord, you are my portion of my inheritance, my cup. You maintain my life. In other words, everything that I am, everything I shall ever be, guess what? It's got to come from you. If you don't give it to me, guess what? I won't have. I am stuck on you. It's me and you. And then six goes on to say that the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. In other words, what he's saying is, whatever you have for me, I'm satisfied. Amen. Somebody wrote a song and said, I can't get no satisfaction. Amen. But I try. I can't get no. Hey. And all you got to do is come to Christ. Amen. And let Christ be his what? His portion, his inheritance. Give his life to Christ, and Christ will give him his life. It's an unfair transfer. Amen. We get the benefit of living for the Lord. Amen. And we have to understand that, and we have to live in such a way that people will see our contentment and really believe that we believe that, and they'll believe in who we are in Christ. Because you're content in all that. Two more things I saw in here, and that the fact that once he was content, why? Is because when things were happening in his life, God gave him counsel. Mm-hmm. You saw that? Yeah, God gave him counsel. He said to the point where he said in verse 7, he says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. In other words, when it's dark out there, God gives him what? The word of God. See, that word counsel actually means guidance. Amen. He's leading him. He's guiding him. It comes up from Psalm 1. Remember Psalm 1? Which is, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm sorry. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. For what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law of the Lord, he meditates day and night. So he's talking about. He named those three people. He says that the ungodly, he says we shouldn't be like them, right?
the sinner, the scoffer, you know, all of those. He says, no, he says, I'm going to give you great guidance. I'm going to give you good counsel. In other words, I'm going to tell you how you're supposed to live your life. And when you do it, there's a blessing in it. Amen. Not the counsel that you hear from other folks telling you what you should do when you know you shouldn't do it. So here's the thing about believers. If you're a believer in Christ, guess what? And you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you know what you shouldn't do. You can't, if you have the same spirit, because I know for a fact when I'm not supposed to do something. Amen. I'm not saying I don't always not do it. But I know I'm not supposed to do it. And the Spirit of God convinced me of that. Amen. But you know, God gave me free will. Amen. Yeah, and sometimes I can grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. But what he's saying is, you can't say that you do it for lack of counsel. You can't say that you do it because I don't know what the Word of God says. You don't have to know the whole book of the Bible, but you have the Spirit of God. The Bible says you will lead into all truth. Huh? We have no excuse. Amen. We know what to do. God has given us faith counsel. Even in the nighttime, even when it's dark outside, even when nobody's looking, helping somebody, because stuff happens at night. Believers know that. Come on now. Yeah, y'all know that. Y'all know. People say, well, you know, I remember we were raising our kids and they gone now. And we was always telling them, you got to come in when it gets dark. People said, well, Dad, same thing happened at night, happened in the daytime. I said, no. You know, I was there. I know for a fact there was something that happened at night that I did that I wouldn't do in the daytime. Oh, because somebody might see me, but nighttime, I'm good. I get bold at night, amen. So at night is when you really need the counsel. Why? Because at night is sometimes when things happen. Come on, they Christians. Y'all still saying, I know that, but sometimes you get hurt. Come on now. Especially saved and single. Huh? Yeah. See, I like to make it real because stuff happens at night. And you need counsel. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not what? Sin against God. Because you ain't always going to have your Bible open. But God gives you counsel. And in that counsel, he gives you a choice. Right? Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. That's a choice. Amen? That's a choice. He didn't say the Lord has set himself always before me. He says, I have decided to set the Lord always before me. That's the choice that we have to make. Amen? In other words, I want to make sure that I am always there. I want the Lord to be there. I want to make sure I'm in the right, I'm in the will of God, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. In other words, when I set the Lord before me and I'm always making sure that my focus is on him, I'm less likely to do something I'm not supposed to do. Amen? When I got to make decisions, if I don't go to the Lord first, I can make some bad decisions. But when I got to make a decision and I think about the Lord, guess what? I'm going to be on the right side. See, it's something about his presence. Amen. When it's real. See, God is always with us. Amen. Y'all know that. God is always what? He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. What? Present. But see, sometimes we forget that in our workaday world. Amen. Or even in our homes, amen. And we need to understand is that you have to make a conscious effort. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision that I will set the Lord always. He didn't say sometimes, but he says always before me. Why? Because he at his right hand, I shall not. In other words, I won't be moved. I won't be swayed. I won't be what convinced to do something I shouldn't be doing. Why? Because I'm always focusing on the Lord. Amen. We got to begin to make better choices in our life. We should stop being moved. It's just like we vacillate in Christianity. We used to say stupid stuff.
I can say it three times because it couldn't come out the first time. Like you talking to somebody and says, I almost had to put my religion on the shelf. Stupid stuff. You can't put Christ on the shelf if he's inside you. I wanted to give her a piece of my mind. Not too big of a piece. You ain't got that much. Amen. If you ain't in Christ, you don't have the mind of Christ. They don't want what you got. But if you made a conscious choice, you made a conscious decision to always set the Lord before you, it will help you when those times come up in your life. And you will be steadfast. What? Unmoved. Say, look, I will not be moved. Unmoved, why? Because you ain't Christ. You're anchored on the what? The solid rock. You will not be moved. God's got you. That's why you can trust him. You're on the right side. And when that happens, the conclusion of the whole matter, that's my last thing. If you do all the stuff we just talked about, amen, as we walk through all those seeds, and you can do this last seed, which is the conclusion. These are the things that you can bank on. Amen? There's some benefits in serving the Lord. Help me somebody. Amen. Benefits, yes. When I took my job, I said, what kind of benefits we got? Everyone come on the salary. You can have it. Give me my benefits. Because as you get older, you're going to need hospitalization. Help me somebody. Say, I don't care what money you got. You're going to go to that doctor. He's going to take everything you got. You're going to hospitalization. I need some benefits. All this is the benefit. Look at that. When you see therefore, y'all know, see what? Go back and see what it was there for. So we already did that. But verse 9 says, therefore, because of all the other things I did, guess what? My heart is glad. Isn't that nice? In other words, remember I told you, the psalmist wrote this at a distressed time. But even in the midst of his distress, because he's trusting in the Lord, because he's doing all the things God says, and he can't be moved. Guess what? His heart is glad. His situation hasn't changed by the time he wrote this, but his heart is still glad. Amen? In other words, no matter what you're going through, your heart's still glad. Why? And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. That's the hope we have in Christ. Amen? That's why your heart is glad. That's why you're rejoicing. Why? Because you have Christ. And as long as you have Christ, there is hope. No matter what you're going through. When the doctor just came in and said, I'm at stage 4. There's still hope. Yes. And guess what? If the Lord decides not to heal you, there's still hope. Yeah, that's easy. See, folk like always like to have that Walt Disney kind of ending, and at the end, and the Lord came out and blessed them, and he was healed. Yeah, sometimes he heals about taking them home. Yeah, that's still hope. See, people don't get that because guess what? It's better there than it is here. I know y'all don't get that. Come on now. Yeah, as we age and we begin to stuff start hurting, come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. And medicine just won't do it no more. Our hope is in a life where there will be no more pain, no more death, no more suffering. Amen? Amen. Nothing but the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's why my heart will be glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh. Look at it. He says, my flesh. That was everything that's inside of me is resting. I'm okay with what's going on. Why? Because I have hope. Amen? Verse 10, it says that, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. What he's saying is that, guess what? I know for a fact that I'm going to participate in the resurrection. Yes, that's what he's saying. He said that I know for a fact that this ain't all there is. That I'm going to actually have a life eternal. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. There he's pointing to Easter. Huh? Yeah, Peter talks about this in the book of Acts, doesn't he? Yeah, Peter actually lifts up this scripture in the book of Acts, talking about what?
Christ. Talking about the true resurrection. And because Christ got up, guess what? We're going to get up also. Now, that's the hope we have because of Easter. Come on now. Because of Resurrection Sunday, guess what? We have a hope. I know it ain't Easter yet. I got 2 more weeks to go. But I'm just priming the pump, baby. That's our hope. Our hope is not down here. But down here, we still got some good stuff. You don't have to wait to heaven to get blessed. Amen. See, look at the conclusion, the last part in the letter. It says, look, you will show me the path of life. In other words, he says, because I'm in you, you're going to guide me in the right direction. I'm going to be on the right side. The path of life. Look, in your presence is fullness of joy. And that's why he said earlier that I have set the Lord always before me. Why? He always wants to be in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. He's always elated. Why? Because God is always with him. He's made a decision to give his life to the Lord. The Lord has given him his life. And so guess what? He is always in his presence. And he is a fullness of joy knowing that he is saved. And because of that, look at the last part. He says that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He said, I got something down here, but guess what? Don't stop down here. I'm going to get them when I get there too. He said, I am so elated at all that you're doing in my life, Lord. And I just, guess what? Somebody said, I'm happy, glad. Amen. Happy, glad. I said, that's the I get it now. See, that's some church lingo. That's when I first get that church. But no, I know what he's talking about now. I'm happy, glad. Sometimes I get so glad, I get happy. Sometimes I get so happy, I just start shouting. Sometimes I get shouted out there. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Amen. The horn is up here. I'll show you how to do the two-step. Get happy, glad up in the house. Baptists do bashful about that stuff. They don't want to praise God like they used to. Come on now. When y'all didn't have all the y'all had, y'all can praise God, but now y'all don't want to get the little outfit all sweated up. Come on now. Get your do messed up. Sometimes you ain't have no do. You that little state they call me. You straighten that mess out. You stop for the Lord. Help me somehow. Now we're cute now. That's all right. God know you. But every now and then, somebody ought to know that you're happy, glad, because there's pleasure being in in the house, in God's presence. There's pleasure knowing that you're saved. There's pleasure in knowing that there was a Good Friday. Amen. There's pleasure knowing that, guess what, that God gave his life on the cross. There's pleasure knowing that he was, buried on a bar tomb. There's pleasure knowing that he got up on that, third day one. There's pleasure knowing that he called you, he brought you in and saved your wretched soul. There's pleasure knowing that one day he's coming back on his trip on a spotted ring. There's pleasure in knowing who God is and knowing that you are in God. Help me somebody. I just want you to get excited about what God is still doing. I know the pandemic is still real, but guess what? It ain't taking nothing away from what God is doing in my life. Hallelujah. I ain't gonna let the devil steal my joy. God's been too good to me. He's been too good to you. There's pleasure forevermore. Yeah, even when you're going through, guess what? The key is the word through. Come on, man. Don't get stuck there. You're going through. Remember when Jesus told the disciples, get on the boat, we're going to the what? Other side. And they got stuck in the middle because a storm came, some hard times came up, and they got stuck in the middle. They started panicking. And Jesus was doing what? He was sleeping on the brothers. Just chilling. He had no word. Why? Because he trusted God. He said, I thought he was God. Yeah, he's giving you an idea. If God can trust God, why can't you? Huh? He was sleeping. They woke him up. Messed up his neck. Brother has been working hard. Y'all know because he's working hard, saving folks, raising people from the dead, feeding 5,000. He was tired. He wanted to get a little bit of rest. He said, can y'all just let me sleep? Woke them up because they were scared. Lord. And then they said, do you care that we are going to perish? And he says, peace. Every now and then in your life, you got to say, peace.
Peace.
Be still. Amen. Peace. Be still. And the thing I like about it is, it says that, I think it was Peter, he said, who is this? You know what I got from them? They didn't even know who they were with. Do you know who you were? If you know who you, now you ain't with me, you with him. See, if you with me, yeah, you better wake him up. Because you in trouble. Amen. We both in trouble. But when we have put our trust in him, he will protect us. He will take care of us. He will preserve us.
Yes.
Because he is God. I want you to leave this place a little better than you came in. Y'all watching on Zoom and Facebook, I want you to understand one thing. God got you. Just make sure you're on the right side. Amen. You're on his side. Amen. The reason why I said on the right side, because when he comes back, he said he's going to separate them. That's in Matthew 25. He said he's going to separate them. He's going to put some goats on his left. But those of us, amen. Those of us, I don't know if y'all, see, I'm bold enough to claim it. You know why? Because I'm resting in him. And he gonna say, he gonna put those on the what? Right side. Somebody get on the way home. So you better make sure you're on the right side. When he comes back, he's gonna separate everybody. He's gonna say, okay, the goats go to my left, but the sheep go to my right side. And those on the right side are gonna have pleasures forevermore. God, we thank you.